February 18th, 2020.
You're going to be my backup?
Did you open the gate?
Yeah. And the luggage has been transferred.
Okay, good.
So these things at regular time. There's no rush. Right. It's a 15-minute ride there, 20-minute ride there.
Okay,
this is business class.
Okay, good.
Testing. And next week you're not giving a share, right?
Correct.
And that means when you return, it's going to be a Purim share. Because that'll be the Tuesday before Purim.
Okay.
I think last week we got up to the top of Samachem Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Amud Aleph is no longer relevant at all. It's what's the din if they waited 10 years and they didn't have children? Does he have to bake suga or not? It's halachas, but I think we'll leave it out for now because we're not finishing the whole Masechta anyway. Maybe tonight we'll learn the Mishnah on Amud Beis, on Samachem Amud Beis. Mr. Danny Laffer has the art site this week for his mother. So we dedicate the learning L'Zech Nishma Seisha Freida Bas Meshulam. So the Mishnah on Samachem and Beis has a machlokes hatanoim. Who is mechuyav in Pirei V'Ribi? Only the men or the women as well? So the Mishnah starts off with Mitzuvah Pirei V'Ribi Avlo Hish. Women are not mechuyav. We pointed out a long time ago that Pirei V'Ribi is in the Chumash. But then there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that the Gemara quoted earlier. That Lato Bera Lo Shevis Yitzara, the Rabbanu Shalom created the world that he wants it to be. Where did the Gemara quote here? On Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara quoted that pasuk. So that's 2 days in Tosfos in two different Masechtos. You don't have the Machlokes in one Tosfos. Tosfos in two different Masechtos has Machlokes. Maybe even though women are not Mechuyev in Pirei V'Ribi, maybe they're Mechuyev in Shevis. So what do you gain by saying that the pot of Pirei V'Ribi if the Mechuyev in Tam Shevis? So that's what the Mefarshim on Eben Ezer explained. Pirei V'Ribi, we paskin, you have to have a son and a daughter, like Beis Hillel say in the Mishnah. And Shevis, they think that you're yotzei with one child. There was one version on that Gemara that we learned there on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. There's one version that Beis Hillel say, one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah Pirei V'Ribi, you have one child. As it says, L'Ato Baro, the Shevis Yitzar, Baruch Shalom created the world that it should be populated. So based on that pasuk, the Gemara thought that it means all you need is one child. So if you say women are exempt from Pirei V'Ribi, it means they don't have to have a son and a daughter, but they still have to have one child. So let's say if a woman already had one child from her first marriage and her first husband died, or she got divorced and she's not interested in having any more children, so she would be permitted to marry a husband, a man who's not able to have children. Not to marry at all, okay? So the Tanakhama, that's how we pass. We pass like Tanakhama, women are not mechuyev in Pirei V'Ribi. The Gemara's going to have to say how you know that. And Rabbi Chaim Breka disagrees. Rabbi Chaim Breka emer, al shneim ho'emer, the pasuk Chumash is written in the plural. Vayvarach oisam elakim, oyem alhem elakim, Pirei V'Ribi. The Baruch Shalom told both of them. He told Adam and Chava, Pirei V'Ribi. Is a question that we said a few times. Kodem Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Pirei V'Ribi applied to the non-Jews as well, applied to the Jews and the non-Jews. And each of the mitzvah was milus ha'aretz, the chibshua, to populate the world. So I can understand that Bechman Breker says, based on the pasuk, women are also mechuyev. But after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. It only applies to the Jewish people. Nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. After Matan Torah, let's say a Jew will live with a non-Jewish woman. He'll marry a non-Jewish woman and have children. Goyish children. So the Pashtus is like the Magen Mishnah said in the Rambam, you're not yet to the mitzvah. The Rambam quoted the Gemara. We learned the Gemara. There was a machlokes of Yochanan Reish Lakish. If a Nochri had children before he converted, and then he converts, do you say Gershon is got cotton Chanel dummy? The children are not related to him anymore, so he's not in fulfillment of Pirei Berivya. That's how Reish Lakish says. And Rabbi Yochanan says no, that despite the fact that they say Gershon is got cotton Chanel dummy, for other inyanim, that for Yerusha, that the children don't get the Yerusha, and for Arayas, strictly speaking, a brother can marry a sister and a son can marry the mother. Minatora, midrabbanan, we don't allow. So minigeta Yerusha, minigeta Edis, let's say two brothers converted. So two brothers are not kosher Edis together, but if they're both gerim, then halacha l'maisa, they're kosher Edis, because kikot and shenol, they're not related to each other. So that's what Reish Lakish says. How can you say that the gershon is gayer and hoya labanim ben ochri yusa is in fulfillment of pru revu with those children? They're not related to him anymore, Alpidin. Biologically, they're his children, but Alpidin, they're not related. So Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't matter, even though he agrees that there is a din of Gershon is God, Kat Shanal Adami, it's not relevant that you are in fulfillment of Pirei Rivya. So when the Rambam writes that din, Hoy lo banim enoch Yusuf in his gayer, he's Yaitse Pirei Rivya, the Rambam Adzan, and his gayer, who behem? The children also converted. So the Magen Mishnah says it's a Svara Pshuta. After Matan Torah, you can't be out to the mitzvah Puruvu with Goyish children. According to Matan Torah, the mitzvah applied to the Jews and the non-Jews, and the whole nature of the mitzvah was just the milus haaretz to populate the world. But after Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is to have children and to transmit the traditions of Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So there should have been room to distinguish and say that the men are mechuyev in Talmud Torah, men are mechuyev lalameh, the children. The mothers are not mechuyev to teach. And maybe after Matan Torah, the women were mechuyev, and after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. Maybe after Matan Torah, the women are not mechuyev. But that's a taina against Rabbi Yechem Abreike. But that's what he says. Rabbi Yechem Abreike disagrees with the Tanakam. He holds that women are mechuyev, because in Bereshis, chapter Aleph, the very first chapter, Adam Echava Vayor Malahem, he tells both of them pru revu. So he derives from Koidem Matan Torah, the pru revu applied to the women also. So Achem Matan Torah, nothing changed. There's room. We're not going to paskin like him. We paskin that it did change. Even if Koidem Matan Torah was only on the, it was both on the men and the women. But after Matan Torah, it's only on the men. So the Gemara asks on the Tanakama, what is the source of the Tanakama? Rabbi Yechem Abreike gives his source. The pasuk pru revu is written in the plur by Baruch Hashem. How does the Tanakhama, what is his mocker to say that women are not mechuyev? How does he come off to say such a thing that women are not mechuyev? He says it's based on the pasuk. It says in the Chumash, pru revu milos haaretz v'chibshua. They should conquer the globe. So the Gemara has adrosh, ish dark alichpush v'ein ish dark alichpush. They never used to draft women into the army. They never drafted women into the army. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Kiddushin also has like that. Unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, they did, for many years away, they do draft women. That's all the Rabbanim are very upset about that. But since women were never in the army, Seisha in Dark Alichbosh, so the last phrase, V'chibshua, doesn't apply to women, so the Tanakhama holds the whole pasuk doesn't apply to women. Pru revu milos haaretz also doesn't apply to women because only ish dark alichbush, then ish dark alichbush. Freg di gemara aderabe. The pasuk says v'chib shuha. Chib shu is in plural. Chib shu oisa. Both of you, adam and chava, should both conquer. Freg di gemara aderabe v'chib shuha tarti mashma. It sounds like it's talking to two people, adam and chava. And for di gemara, there's a kriya ksiv over here. The kriya is v'chib shuha, the two of you should conquer the world. But since the ksiv is without a vav, so the way it reads, it's in the plural. But the way it's written, that's a machloikes hatanoim, a different mesichtes. We already had it over here. When you have a contradiction between the kriya and the ksiv, so yeshem la mikra versus yeshem la masoras, the paskan like the mikra, like the kriya. The apostle, like the Masoris, means the Masoretic text, the way it's written in the Chumash. Here there's also a contradiction. The Kri is Bechib Shuha, which is clearly in the plural. you read it as if there were a vav in between the shin and the hay. V'chib shuha is a plural, but the ksiv is v'chib uchavasha, speaking only to one of them. So that's what the Gemara says, that the Tanakhama is drasha that exempts the women from Piru Rivia is based on the ksiv. And we assume that Yeshem Lamasores, as opposed to Yeshem Lamikra, whenever there's a conflict between the Kri and the ksiv, you should follow the ksiv. Yeah, maybe that's the machlokes of Yechem ben Nuri and the Chachamim. But you say Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasores. Rabbi Yosef Amar Mehach, Rabbi Yosef says he has a different marker for the Tanakhama. Why the Tanakhama thinks that women are exempt from the mitzvah period? Rabbi Yosef Amar Mehach, based on an infra pasuk, Ani kel shartkai pre urevei, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov Avinu. So he tells Yaakov Avinu, he's talking to him, pre urevei, doesn't say pre urevu in the plural, it says pre urevei, but like I'm a pre urevu. So you see that Rabban Shalom is only encouraging Yaakov Avinu to have children. Pre urevei. Rabbi Simcha has in the Meshech Chochma a different suggestion. He's not arguing. The Gemara gives you an amokah for the Chumash, but the Gemara doesn't say a svar. So the Meshech Chochma has a suggestion. He says that years ago, women used to be b'sakonas nefashos. Many women died at childbirth. So it's not really nice that the Torah should require of women the mechuyev to put their lives in danger. The mechuyev, if the woman wants to get married and have children, that's her decision, whether she's prepared to run the risk. She can lose her life, but that the Rebbeinu Shlom should instruct them and be mechayev the women that they have to put their lives in danger, that's hard to say. So he thinks maybe that's the reason why. The Gemara gives the Mokar and the Chumash, and Ramesh HaChachmi gives a suggestion, maybe that's the time why women are exempt. It's not right that the Torah should require of a person that he should put his life in danger to have children.
Isn't by Mohammed's mitzvah that a few kawa may chuposa or something? Isn't there a maimer like that?
Yeah, Mishnah. So Mishnah and Saita. Yeah, Perak Moshech Mohammed. But we assume it doesn't mean that the women join the army. They join the kitchen staff. The soldiers need food to eat. Or the women usually stay at home and the husbands run the shops. So the husbands are all drifting in the army. So the women, kawa may chuposa, has to go run a husband's business. But you're not supposed to have the women in active combat. Women are not supposed to be in the army. I remember once I think it was on Yom HaAtzmaut, so Rav Soloveitchik was scheduled to speak in Lampert Auditorium. Everybody thought he was going to give a drush on Yom HaAtzmaut. So the first half, it was a long drush. The first half of the drush, maybe 45 minutes or so, he was talking about the Midah Tovah of HaKoros HaTov. That the Chayvus Alvava says that that's so important in the Jewish religion. We believe the fact HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. So if you have a sense of HaKadosh HaTov, this will be Mechazegar Emunah in the existence of God. If you don't have a sense of HaKadosh HaTov, Biral Machavero, so you're going to forget about the Rebbe Shalom because he's invisible. So he kept on emphasizing how important it is. We have to have HaKadosh HaTov to Ben Gurion, because he did this and he did that, Oizgerech, and all the wonderful things that Ben Gurion did, he deserves credit. And then after 45 minutes, he said, Ober! And he said, but he thinks he's the world's greatest philosopher, and he's telling us what the halacha should have been, and he's drafting women in the army, the whole thing was a whole attack, after they started drafting women in the army. So he was very upset. I found it very interesting that people wrote biographies of the Chazon Ish. So they write that when the Chazon Ish met Ben Gurion, each was taken by the other one. Chazon Ish was impressed. He thought Ben Gurion was a nice fellow. Ben Gurion was very impressed by the Chazon Ish. And then I think a year after or something soon after, they started drifting women in the army. So the Chazon Ish made a comment. He doesn't believe that Ben Gurion did this. The Shamosa must have done it. Ben Gurion realizes that you have to be traditional, and this is not his style. He thought that it wasn't Ben Gurion's doing. Rav Soloveitchik was attacking Ben Gurion. The whole drasha was attacking Ben Gurion. Ancient history. Slomala v'lamored, yeah. So they quoted Rabbi Loi was an Amora who quotes Rav Blazer, Rav Shimon by Yechoi. He was the one who was in the cave hiding from the Romans, and his son Rav Blazer, Rav Shimon. So Rabbi Loi is quoting Rav Blazer, Rav Shimon. they don't have so many inyanim that Rabbi B quotes Rabbi A, so they line them up over here. V'yomer, nochad din at the gezot. V'yomer Rabbi Eloi Mishum Rabbi Lozer Reb Shimon. He says over another din in the name of this town, Rabbi Lozer Reb Shimon. They quote Rabbi Lozer Reb Shimon in different places in the Gemara, but Rabbi Eloi quoting him, very few memories. So he says another memory, Kishem Shem Mitzvah al Ha'odam Loi Madov HaNishma, just like there's a mitzvah v'cheach t'cheach esam yisecho, there's a chiv to give, musa to give to choch. If you see a person doing an avera, a person is lazy, he's negligent, he's not fulfilling the mitzvahs properly, he doesn't wear the tefillah in the right place, he doesn't pronounce the words right, kriya shma shmanesu, he's not doing the mitzvahs properly. So just like Hashem, just like there's a mitzvah to give tochach, and when you think there's a chance the person will listen, dav ha-nishma, kach mitzvah ha-adam shalo lama dav she'en ha-nishma. So too, if you know for sure that the fellow is not going to accept the tochach, so you shouldn't give any tochach. Why does he say kishem? Just like, why is it kishem? There's such a mishnah in Brachas. Kishem shem mevorchem al ha-tov v'kach mevorchem al ha-ra. Just like if something wonderful happens, we recite a bracha. Baruch ha-tov ha-metev v'shachyonu sometimes. So too, when a tragedy occurs, so you say baruch tainam. So the Gemara asks, how do you say kishem? It's not the same bracha. What are you going to say? Just like you say sha'akal when you eat the chicken, so do you say bari minim zonis when you eat cake? What do you mean just like so too? It's a different bracha. What does one have to do with the other? So the Gemara asks, you don't say the same bracha when you say bracha ala tov, bracha ala ra. So the Gemara says they have one thing in common. We really believe that kol ma'adavid rachman le'tavavid. Even if it appears to us, even if our perception is that it's a tragedy, and that's what I'm going to say, baruch dayinu emes, the bracha has to be recited. The nusach of the bracha has to correspond to our perception. So sometimes a tragedy occurs and you say dayinu emes, but the person should recite the bracha b'simcha. He should recite the bracha with faith and with emunah, and the state of simcha, to believe that's really the toivah. Yeah, so what's up? The kishem means that they have something in common. So what is it over here? Just like there's a mitzvah to give tochach when there's a chance, davar nishma, there's a chance the person may listen, so too there's a mitzvah not to give tochach if you know in advance he's not going to listen. Why is it kishem? So I remember Rav Soloveitchik, when he learned this gemara, said like this, the mitzvah of tochach achech tochach samisecha means you take a person who's doing an aveira and you're supposed to convert him into a tzaddik. You should give him tochacha and try to get him to stop doing the aveira and to do the mitzvahs properly. So if you know that a person is doing an aveira b'shoigeg, the Gemara is going to say mutab shiyu shoigegim v'lo yuhu mezidin. That's the Gemara in Beitza, the Flamen has like that. If a person is doing an aveira b'shoigeg, and you know that if you want to give musar, there's not a chance in the world he's not going to listen. So then you say, Kishem Shem Mitzvah Loi Madaba HaNishma, Kach Mitzvah Shaloi Loi Madaba Shein HaNishma. If you're going to give him Tochacho, and you know in advance he's going to continue to do the Aver B'mezid, so you're taking a tzaddik and making him into a Rasha. Right now he's doing the Aver B'shegik. He doesn't realize that there's anything wrong. I'm going to give him Usur, that it's Usur, it's Keneged Adin, and I know in advance there's not a chance he's going to listen. So I'm converting a tzaddik into a Rasha. A tzaddik in the sense that the averis that he does, a b'shogeg, he doesn't realize that he's doing an aver. So that's what he meant to say, just like there's a mitzvah v'cheach t'chiach. To take a Russian, convert him into a tzaddik, that's usually mitzvah t'chacha. So included in that also is that you shouldn't take a tzaddik and convert him into a Russia if you know that he's not going to listen to the musar. And he doesn't know that it's asa. Mutam shi shogeg and v'lo yehum zid. That's why he uses the Russian. Kishem, it's the common denominator between the two.
But we're supposed to be done with Havskos. So what does it mean that I know for sure that he's not going to want to...
You have to be realistic. Sometimes I think there's a chance that the person may listen. Sometimes there's not a chance he's going to listen. A rabbi in a community has to always give tochacha. Because he has a whole shul full of people. If there's one person who may possibly listen to the musa that he gives, so then he has to give musa. But if it's not, that's if he's speaking to a whole group. But if he's speaking to one person, one-on-one, if you know in advance that there's not a chance that he's going to listen, it's not going to help that you should be malamed tzchus, to be done the kav tzchus. I know in advance there's not a chance he's going to listen. Everybody in his family is not observant. So then you don't. You're not allowed to give him musar. Yeah. So he says, he recommends that you shouldn't. Kach mitzvah shelo lama davah she'enu nishma. Rabba bama choyva. What do you mean choyva? Not stam a recommendation, not to give to chacha. It's a real din. Choyva, not an eitz tevish and emma. Al tochach letz, don't give to chacha. Don't give musa to a person who's a hardcore Russia. Pen yisna eko, because he's going to hate you. He's not going to listen. Ocheach lechacham, give tochacha to a chacham who's doing something wrong, v'yehavecha, he'll appreciate it. He'll like the fact that that you gave him tochacha. So the Gemara continues to quote. Ocheach lechacham, v'yehavecha. I remember on one side, when I was single, a long time ago, so on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, they had a baltakeh in the yeshiva who was very shvach. And nobody was there to the tkiyas at all. The tkiyas were not long enough, and the shvarim, everything was awful. And they didn't want to hurt his feelings. So after the whole davening was all over, labeled dulits was the adua. So labeled dulits used to blow shofar in Soloveitchik minyan. And he came in to wish everybody a good yontif, gemach simchat Torah. So they asked him, could you blow over? So, not a problem. He blew over all the tkiyas, everything was good. So the morning of the second day, when the Baal Tekeah from the first day came in, I walked over to him, and I said, I hope you're not going to blow shofar today. So he says, why not? So I said, because nobody was yotze yesterday. They didn't want to hurt your feelings, but after you left, so they got labeled dulus to blow everything on. He said, no, he's going to blow shofar. So I said, I'm warning you in advance, I'll embarrass you in public. Don't you dare blow shofar, because nobody was yotze yesterday. So he said, so who's going to blow? Nobody's prepared. So we used to have Professor Furstenberg, I think. He was a mathematician. He moved there to Israel. He used to be the Baltikeh for years. So I asked him, walked over to him. He said, I asked him, can you blow shofar? Yeah. So the fellow who was blowing shofar for the first day was a Rebbe in the yeshiva. I was a Talmud. He was married with a whole family. He was much older than me. He was extremely hurt. But then, after a year, he realized that I did the Toivosa, so he became my best friend. So one of his daughters got married. He asked me to be Masada Kedushin at his daughter's wedding. He appreciated the fact that I gave him Tochach. That's what the Pasuk says in Mishlei. Al Tochach Letz, Al Letz means a Balaver. Al Tochach Letz, Penis No Echo. He won't appreciate the Musa. If you give Tochach to a Chocham, an intelligent person, he'll appreciate it. He'll thank you. So the Gemara quotes now a third member. The Yom Rabbi Loi Mishim Rab Loz Mishim, a third member. Mutal aladim l'shanas b'dvar hasholem. Usually we say it's not right to tell a lie. What's the avera to tell a lie? The pasuk in Chumash b'dvar sheker tirchak doesn't go on telling a lie. The pasuk in Chumash goes on falsifying your tax income tax form. You're telling a lie in order not to pay the money that you owe. That's the pasuk. Midvar sheker tirchak, not to cheat people. What's the avera to tell a lie? Stam, to tell a lie. So the Gemara says, Gemara quotes a different pasuk from Novi. Sheris Yisrael Yaza Avla, V'lo Yidab B'Kosav. The Jewish people will never do an Avla, and they won't tell a lie. So is there a pasuk in Chumash that's based on? You know, if you're telling a lie, not in the area of Dini Mamanis, you're not cheating someone of the money, not cheating a person or the government of the money that they're entitled to. So it's not included in the Pasuk Medvash HaKatirchak. Where is the Pasuk HaChumish? The Pasuk HaChumish is the Pasuk that says, V'halachta b'drachav. You should imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We spoke on different occasions. We were all created the Tzelem Malakim, and we are mechuyev to preserve the Tzelem Malakim. So the way to preserve the Tzelem Malakim is by going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chaysom Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The Gemara says, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola once got piece of paper floated down from heaven, and it was signed Emes, and they understood that it was signed by the Rebbeinu Shlom. Chaysom Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, from all the various midas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, Chana V'rach, Merach HaPayim, and everything, so the Ikka Midah apparently is Midas HaEmes. So in order to preserve the Tzelem Malakim that we were created with, we have to be medaktik on them. Sheris Yisrael V'yazo Avlei Dabu Kosov. So he says, but if it's going to cause frictions, going to cause machlokes, so then You should not tell the truth. It's permissible. Mutal l'lodim l'shanas. He's permitted to tell a white lie. After Yaakov Avinu died, so the brothers told Yosef that the father before he died left Tzavoya, that Yosef should be Moichel them. It's not true. The father never found out what happened. They always avoided telling him. Father Yaakov Avinu, that's what the Gemara assumes. The father never found out, and the whole thing is not true. But nonetheless, they said, Avichat Tziva, Kosamul Yosef, Anasana, Pesha, Achecha, Vechatosim, he should forgive them. So you see from the pasuk that it's mutter to tell a lie. Mutter. I'm not naiman, not only mutter, it's a mitzvah to tell a lie in such a case. Shenema. Shmuel was the Navi, so Shmuel had appointed Shaul as a melech. Then the Rabbanu Shalom, after Melchemes HaMolech, so Shaul HaMelech didn't kill Agag. And then Shmuel HaNavi went and he gave him a nevuah. You lost the melucha because you didn't wipe out HaMolech. David HaMelech did, the Gemara says, David HaMelech did more than one Avera, but those were personal Averas. It wasn't Poygim in the way he was functioning as a Melech. The Gemara says, Shaul ba'achas also lo, David b'shtayim b'loy also lo. Shaul only did one Avla, and he lost his Malchus, and David did more than one Avla, and he didn't lose his Malchus. Why? So the quote from the Vilna, Chayyotim quotes from the Vilna Goyen, that Shaul ba'achas, he did one Avla, he didn't function the way he should as a Melech. His job was the role of the melechus. The Rambam has Hilchus Melochim Melcham Maseim. That's the full title of that section in the Rambam. Hilchus Melochim Melcham Maseim is the role of the melech to wage war according to the laws of the Torah. So he didn't kill Agag. So that's why he lost the melechus. David did things that were improper, but it wasn't b'toras melech. The inyani hamalchus he did properly. So then the Rabbanu Shalom gives Shmuel a nevuah. He should go and he should anoint one of the sons of Yishai as the new king. So he said, Shmuel HaNavi says to Hashem, what do you mean? Shama Shaul Haragani. Shaul still thinks he's the Melech. I told him that Rabbi Shalom is angry he lost the Malchus, but I'm going to go in his section of Eretz. He's going to say, ask me, what are you doing there? I'm going to say, the Rabbi Shalom sent me as a Navi to anoint someone else, one of the sons of Yishai. Should be the melech. He's going to kill me. So the Baruch Hashem tells him, you take a behemoth with you, and you tell if you bump into Shaul, tell him a lie. The Baruch Hashem tells Shmuel HaNavi, if you bump into Shaul, tell him a lie. Tell him that you're going to bring korbanos. That's why you're over there in that section in Eretz Yisrael, where you never go. So the Baruch Hashem encouraged him to do that. So you see that it's not stam, that it's mutter. It's a mitzvah l'shanes. It's a white lie in order to maintain the peace. You don't have to punch him in the face, you have to bop him over the head and tell him they're appointing a new king. Tell him a lie that I'm bringing korbanos and then you'll appoint a king.
So it's not only mamonos, shekher t'chot.
Probably a malitza, they probably meant the other pasuk. The shekher t'chot, the pasuk in chumash, it's better, but it really only applies to mamonos. That's how the Rishonim say. So the pasuk of telling a lie, that's the other person. Sheris Yisrael Asu Kozov, Lo Yedabru Kozov. So Shalom is an important consideration. The Bei Rebbe Shmuel Tana, in the Yeshiva Rebbe Shmuel, they had the following brisa: Godel HaShalom, to maintain peace and harmony, that there shouldn't be friction, people shouldn't have hard feelings against each other, is so important. Shafa Kodesh Baruch Hashina Boy. The Rebbe Shalom told a white lie in order not to cause friction between Avram Avinu and Sarah. Why? Because when the Rebbeinu Shalom told Sarah she's going to have a baby, so she said, my husband is so old, he's too old to have a baby. And then Sarah was laughing. So the Rebbeinu Shalom tells Avram Avinu, Lama zeh tzochakos Sarah? Why did Sarah laugh? The Malach gave her a message that she's going to have a baby. So when the Rebbeinu Shalom told it all to Avram Avinu, he didn't quote what Sarah said. Badon yizaka, my husband is too old. He was 10 years older than Sarah. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, Vaniza Kanti, I'm too old to have a baby. And that wasn't true. She was able to have. Avram Avinu wasn't able. So that's what the Gemara points out. It's also the whole din that you shouldn't tell a lie is because V'alach Tebedrachav. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is Chosam Mashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. But the Rebbeinu Shalom himself told a white lie. So that's a chelek of V'alach Tebedrachav, that you should sometimes tell a lie. Mipnei HaShalom. A lot of the doctors think that they always have to tell a patient the whole bad news. that you only have a month to live. There's no mitzvah to tell a person he only has a month to live, unless you think he's going to make a tzabah, unless he's going to chaz a shas in the month, unless if he knows he's holding by the end, he'll do something important, give tzedakah, whatever. But stamp to let him know that he has a very serious sickness. No mitzvah to tell a person the truth. You can fudge a little bit, not mechuyev, yeah. No. Taisus asks over there, how come the Gemara says, by Hashabbos Aveda, we always insist that the person that wants the Aveda back has to give simanim. Let's say I put up a sign and I write on the sign, I found a scarf. So it could be a red scarf, could be a yellow scarf, could be a gray scarf, could be very long, could be very short, different kinds. So you don't show the person that someone says, I lost the scarf. Let me see the scarf. So you don't show him the scarf. He's going to say, yeah, that's my scarf. You don't show him the scarf. You ask him, describe it. Give me simon. You give back the Aveda b'simon. So the Gemara says, what if it's a Talmid Chacham who never tells a lie? By us, it's not necessarily. Sometimes Talmid Chacham do tell lies. Sometimes all about them don't tell lies. The Gemara writes it in an ideal sense. It means if there's a person, we all know he never tells a lie. Except on the three things that it's a mitzvah to tell a lie. So then you can show him the scarf. He says, I lost the scarf. You can show him the scarf and assume that he's going to tell you the truth. He will identify the scarf with a tefillah sign. Because the pasuk says, Adrosh achicha oso, dosheyu shelo yehei ramai. So dosheyu shelo yehei ramai has to give simonim. But if he's a tzuruf me de rabbanu, de lo mishani b'dibur, never tells a lie, only in the three areas where it's okay, so then that itself is dosheyu shelo yehei ramai. I investigated, and I found out that this fellow never tells a lie. So what are the three things that the Gemara says? In Yonim of Tznias, they want to know when he was with his wife. What is it their business? He was visiting, a Talmid Chacham was visiting by a family. So another Meshula from another yeshiva wants to know, how did they treat you? So if I'm going to tell them they treated me very nicely, all the Meshulachim are going to go, and they're going to tell him they're going to clean out all of his money. So the Gemara says it's not right. The Puriya of Yoshpiza, okay. Certain things, it's permissible to tell a lie. So they says, how come the Gemara doesn't say a fourth thing? If they dak yisholim, they say, no, that's mamish a mitzvah. The other things is a recommendation. This is more of a chiyuv to tell a lie. So it's a kavachaymer that the Tzur Mid Rabban is going to tell a lie on this. The third thing is b'mesichta. If you ask him, does he know this mesichta, he's allowed to lie a little bit and tell a lie that he doesn't. One of the boys in the yeshiva made a siyum on Shas around six times. He runs through Shas. So they had a big party. His cousin is married, lives in the neighborhood, made a big party. And then the boy is making this siyum, says, the Gemara says he's allowed to tell a lie with respect to learning. He tells everybody's making a siyum on Shas the 17th time. then he says, it's not true. It's only the sixth time. The Gemara says, you're allowed to tell a lie in the other direction. Mishumanov, not that. So he is kidding. I kibitz him. Allowed to tell a lie, then mesichta. Yeah.
The story with Shmuel is more serious because it was about pikuach nefesh. So it's obvious that you can tell a lie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not because of darkei sholem, it's more because of pikuach nefesh. It's a good question. How can you prove that it's a mitzvah l'shanes mepnei darkei sholem? It's a mitzvah mishum pikuach nefesh. So if it's pikuach nefesh, enoch enami. It's a good detail. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim, whether the women are mechuyevim pirurim. A girl wants to marry a boy, and we know in advance the boy had a condition; he won't be able to have any children. Is she allowed to marry that boy? Istama doesn't make sense. The girl is in love with the boy now; she's not thinking. Of course, she's gonna later on. She's gonna have charata that she didn't have children. But what can you do? A lot of girls fall in love and they want to marry this boy, even if they know in advance that he can't have any children. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Tanakhama, that women are not mechuyev, or do we paskin like Rabbi Yechem and Broika, that the women are also mechuyev? So that's a machlokes Amoraim, the first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Yechanan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, and Rabbi Shmuel Levi also, he's the first generation. So they had a machlokes. Chadama, one of them said, Alochi Rabbi Yechem ben Broika, that the women are mechuyev. But the Gemara didn't remember who said which way. The Rabbi Yechanan usually say halachik Rabbi Yechanan neged b'nei doro. Usually, if it's a machlekes Rav Yechanan and Reish Lakish, so we say the din is always like Rav Yechanan with only three cases that we pass like Reish Lakish. Rabbi Rav Yechanan, halachic Rav Yechanan. Shmuel Rav Yechanan, halachic Rav Yechanan. That's how they sum it up. Halachic Rav Yechanan neged Bnei Dor. When he disagrees with one of his contemporaries, he always pass like Rav Yechanan, except for Rav Yishua ben Levi. If he disagrees with this one, so then we assume the din is like Rav Yishua ben Levi. How does Taisus know that? Taisus in a few mesichtes, because he quoted the Gemara in the end of Megillah, has a machlokes which has, the Gemara assumes that a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaKnesses you have an Aron Kodesh. The Rambam is Masha, you don't have a Sefer Torah, it doesn't have the din of a Beis HaKnesses. Just like in a Beis HaMikdash, you have to have the Luchas there. Even in Beis Sheni, the Luchas weren't in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Yuma, they were under the ground. They were buried in the, they were in a room, the chamber in the basement. There were luchas in the Beis Sheni. So the mocker of the Kedusha and the Beis HaKnesses is the fact that you have a Sefer Torah, Torah Shebichzav. And the mocker of the Kedusha and Beis HaMedrash is that they learn Torah Shebalpeh. That's the way Taisus and Nazir puts it. What's the Gemara is assuming that they don't have the same level of Kedusha, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash. So we usually have a din, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Marid. You're permitted to convert a Dovish Bigdusha to something else if it's going to be a higher level. Let's say you have a Shalyad and you want to convert it to make it into a Shalrosh. So that's permissible. But the reverse, if you already used it as a Shalrosh, you want to change it to make it into, use the Parshias, make them into a Shalyad, you're not allowed to because it's a violation of Moridin. Because the Shalrosh has slightly more Kedusha than a Shalyad. So the Gemara has a Machlokes in the end of Megillah, Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Shlomo Levi. Which has higher Kedusha, the Shul or the Beis HaMedrash? So Taisus and Nazir talks about that. They say because the source of the Kedusha in the Shul is Torah Shebichzav, and the source of the Kedusha in the Beis HaMedrash is Torah Shebalpeh. That's what Taisus says. And the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara in Megillah doesn't sound like that. The Gemara in Megillah seems to present it differently. The Machlokes is that the Shul is Miyuchad for davening, and the Beis HaMedrash is Miyuchad for learning. So which of these two is more important, the davening or the learning? That's the simple reading of the Gemara. But Taisus presents, a little Taisus, a four-line Taisus, presents it differently in Soita, in the Chops. They say that the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses stems from the Sefer Torah, Torah Shebichzav, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMedrash stems from the Torah Shebalpeh. So the Gemara quotes Machlokes Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Then the Gemara, a few lines later, just ignores Rabbi Yechon and they say, we all know the din is like Rabbi Shimon Levi. How do you all know? The Gemara didn't prove anything. So Taisus says, you see from that Gemara, that that's the klal, that they, the consensus always was like Rabbi Yechanan usually wins when he disagrees with any other of his contemporaries. Rabbi Yechanan, Alach Rabbi Yechanan, Shmuel Rabbi Yechanan, Alach Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan, Ish Lokish, Alach usually like Rabbi Yechanan. But when he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Levi, then we do pass on like Rabbi Shimon Levi against Rabbi Yechanan. So that's a machlokes here. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi which of the Tanoim should be passing like? Should we pass like the Tanakama that women are exempt from Perivarivya? Or should we pass like Rabbi Yechanan Marberka the women are Mechuy? So the Gemara says it was a machlokes and they don't remember who said which way. The Gemara says on the third word line, Tistayim, we think we can prove conclusively that Rabbi Yechon Hud Yama ain't Allah. It would appear that Rabbi Yechon is the one who says that the din is not like Rabbi Yechon, who is a Rabbi Yechon Membroika. How do you see? The Yosef Rabbi Abba, who became a Mishmeid Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon had many different students who said over his Shitas. He had so many students learned by him, and then those students told over to other people. So on one occasion, Rabbi Abahu was a student of Rabbi Yechon. He's saying, "Oh, come, Mishmeid Rabbi." He says, "In the name of Rabbi Yechon, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Levi." So two other students were there, Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Asi. Taisus points out in other places there were four people. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi means they had real bona fide smicha Rebbe. So they lived in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So they had real smicha, like Rabbi Yechanan. He had real smicha. Then there were two people who lived, two Amoraim lived in Babel, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who neither had smicha. They were both reverends, Rav, because you can't get smicha if you live in Chutz Lartz. Today, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tonight. Today, people fly back and forth every week. They go crusade, but in the days of the Amoraim, they hardly ever traveled. So the Amoraim above them never had any smicha. So Tosis points out, Rav Ami and Rav Asi were good friends in Bavel, but they're not the same two people as Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Asi. Rebbe Ami means that they had real smicha. Rav Ami and Rav Asi lived in Bavel, they didn't have any smicha. So these two, Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Asi, were also students of Rabbi Yochanan, and when Rebbe Abo said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the din halachik here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, that women are mechuyev, Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi were very upset. They didn't make, they should have said, you're wrong, you're misquoting, Rabbi Yochanan never said it. Out of respect for Rabbi Abo, they didn't make a big stink, but they turned their faces. So everyone realized that they're protesting, that it's not true. What's the difference between turning your face and saying you're misquoting? So the Gemara is going to say, V'hadrino Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi la'apai, they turned their faces in protest. That's one version. Ikli Ami, another version, has it that it wasn't Rabbi Abohu who said over incorrectly. It was really Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Omar. He's the one who said over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that he said the din is women are mechuyev pru revu. And the rest of the story says, V'hadrino Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi la'apai, and they turned their faces away in protest, instead of saying out loud, it's a misquotation, Rabbi Yochanan never said it, they turned their faces. So the Gemara just has a historical comment. Which version seems to be correct? Was it Rabbi Abohu who misquoted, or was it Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba who misquoted? Omer HaPapa, B'Shleim HaLaman Omer, Rabbi Abohu Amor, according to the first version, that Rabbi Abohu said incorrectly the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that women are Mechuyim Puravu, and the others protested it without speaking. They just turned their faces. We know why, because Mushum quoted the Bei Kesar, because Rabbi Abo was recognized by the government in Bavel as the chief rabbi of the Jewish people. So Rabbi Abo perhaps wasn't as learned as other students of Rabbi Yochanan, but he was accepted as the chief rabbi. So they didn't want to make a public fuss to protest it by saying it's incorrect. It's a misquotation, because then they may cause friction with the government. Rabbi Bo was accepted as the chief rabbi. However, so the Gemara says, Bishleim, according to the first version, that Rabbi Abohu Amara, so we understand why they didn't protest it verbally, Mishum Kvod Bei Kesar, Lo Yomar Leva Lamida, so they didn't say, but they just turned their face in disapproval. But according to the second version, Bchia Bar Abba, so why didn't Rabbi Yami Rabba, so why didn't they just speak up and say it's not true? They weren't close to the government, so they should have protested. He was the one who said the misquotation. Why didn't they say explicitly? Rabbi Yochanan never said. So that's sort of a footnote. Rabbi Papa thinks that the more correct version is the first one, that is, Rabbi Abo said over incorrectly. And Rabbi Yami Rabasi corrected him that Rabbi Yechanan never said. Okay. So Bikitzer, it's a machlekes hatanoim, and it's a machlekes hamaroim. What did Rabbi Yechanan say? Should be paschal like the Tanakama or not? So the Gemara asks, so what's the end of the story? Allah Almighty, Mahavi Allah. So what is the din? Do we paschal bottom line women? Amuchim pro revu. Women are not amuchim. So Mahavi Allah. So what's the maskan Allah Almighty? So the Gemara, Toshma, the following story, Amar Abach, Rab Chanina, Amar Rabbi Abohu, Amar Rabbi Yasi, tells the story, Uv the Havik HaMeid, Rabbi Yechon B'Knishta, the Kesari, in the shul, in the city Kesari, in Eretz Yisrael. The Omar, what was the story? A couple was married for a long time, and they didn't have any children, and the wife insisted she wants to get divorced. The doctors ascertained that it was a problem with the husband. He was unable to have children, but she was able. So she wanted to get a get. The Amos Rabbi Yochanan get paskin yotzi v'yitin ksuba. The husband has to give a get, and he has to pay her the ksuba. Why does he have to pay her the ksuba? Why does he have to pay her? So the Gemara says, v'yisal kadaitach. We're trying to ascertain what did Rabbi Yochanan say. V'yisal kadaitach loy mifkido. If you're going to say that women are not mechuyev like the Tanakam, women are not mechuyev in peri v'rivya, so the woman said, I want to get because I want to have children. So Rabbi Yochanan should have said, if you want to get, we'll pressure the husband to give you a get. The Rambam has a famous lashon, B'nai Yisrael, anat kishvuyas chorev, a married woman is not a prisoner of war, that you have a right to hold. If the woman wants a get, you mechuyev to give her a get. In fact, the Rambam Paskin is yekoifer. Whenever a woman says, Moisel, I can't stand my husband, they yekoifer her to give a get. Many of the other Rishonim don't hold like that, so that's why the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael, they never koifer. But a lot of times, that is the case. A woman says, I can't stand my husband. She's married so many years, has so many things that annoy her, and she says, Moisel, I don't want to be with the husband at all. So the Rambam sheet is that yekoifer the garish. Some of the Sfardish Rabbanim always had the tradition to follow the Rambam, but not everybody is Sfardim. So some of the Sfardish Rabbanim and the Rabbanut, basically, when a woman says Moisalai, they would want to be koifer the husband, but so they always look for another sniff, another reason why. Often there is cause. Let's say the couple is separated, and the husband is not supporting the wife, not giving her any money. So he's not living with his wife, not giving her any money. But then he's not koifer the garish. In such a case, you do pressure him. Usually that is the case. A couple is separated, they're not getting along, the husband doesn't give a penny to support the wife at all. So he doesn't give her marital relations, doesn't give her any money, nothing. So he takes a koifer the garish. In Eretz Yisrael, they have to, the Rabbanut has koyach hakfiyah. They can take away your driver's license, they can take away your passport so you can't travel. They can put you in prison if they think that'll help. There are people sitting in prison for 40 years, for 50 years, who don't, very principled, they don't want to give a get, they're not going to compromise on their principles. But usually in Eretz Yisrael, when they're koyfer, usually it works. They don't have as many cases as we have here in America. So the Gemara says, the woman said she wants to have children, so Rabbi Yochanan said it's, and they knew that it was the problem, the medical problem with the husband. So Rabbi Yochanan said, we're going to be koyfer the husband, yoytzi, and he has to pay her the ksuba. Why? If it's just capricious, if she doesn't have a mitzvah, if she, let's say the husband always shakes the lulav in shul, he doesn't buy his own lulav, and the wife wants to shake lulav, and she wants a divorce because the husband never buys his own lulav. That's not a cause for divorce. The woman is not mechuyev to shake a lulav. So that's the Gemara's argument. If the woman is not mechuyev in piri verivya, so why does he say yotzev yitin ksuba? Whenever the woman is the one who initiated the divorce proceedings, it's her fault that the din is that whenever a couple gets divorced, it says in the ksuba, you got to pay ksuba. So you have to pay ksuba either if it's the fault of the husband that they're getting divorced. He's arrested by the government, he's a criminal, he's going to sit in jail the next 25 years. So there isn't going to be any marriage. So that's not fair, that's the fault of the husband. Or if no one is at fault, they fell in love 25 years ago, then they fall out of love. So they're going to get divorced. And whenever it's either the fault of the husband that they're getting divorced, that's nobody's fault, then the husband pays ksuba. But if it's the fault of the wife that they're getting divorced, for example, when they got married, the husband thought that it's a religious goal, they're going to be observant. And then she stops going to mikveh. She doesn't want to go to mikveh. And he finds out, the Gemara has a whole discussion in ksubas. How did he find out? He finds out that the last couple of months she hasn't been going to mikveh and she was living with him anyway. Or machilos hosheinu mu'usa, when they got married, it was understood that they're going to keep a kosher home. And then he finds out that in the last couple of months she's giving him tray for food. So that she's at fault for ruining the marriage. Or if she's disrespectful to the in-laws in the presence of the husband, mekalelus yolda b'fanav, she's disrespectful. Or if she takes shvuas and she doesn't observe them, because b'avoyin nedarim b'ani meisim. Or if she doesn't want to have any children, that's how they get married. After he gets married, he finds out she's not interested in having any children. They never discussed it when they were dating. And after they get married, she notifies him she doesn't want to have any children. He says, "What are you talking about? That's the whole purpose why people get married, self-understood. If when they got married, it was understood that they were not observant, they're not going to keep Taras HaMishpacha, they're not going to keep Kashrus. Then later on, the husband decides to become a Baal Tshuva, and then he wants to divorce his wife, then he does have to pay her ksuba. The only time he doesn't have to pay ksuba is if she's at fault for the divorce. She's at fault means when they got married, it was understood they are going to keep kosher. They understood they are going to observe Taras HaMishpacha. And then she violates the commitment at the beginning of the marriage. But if he becomes a Baal Tshuva and she doesn't go along, then he does have to. He's the one who is causing the divorce. Then he does have to pay ksuba. So here, the Gemara thought the Maaseh Shoya was in the shul in Kesari, that the woman said she wants to have a divorce because the husband is unable to have children, and she wants to fulfill the mitzvah of piruviriv. So if women are mechuyev, why she wants a divorce? That's not cause for a divorce. So why did Rabbi Yechonah say the husband has to pay ksuba? The wife is responsible for ruining the marriage over here because she wants to have children. She doesn't need. And if you're going to think Rabbi Yechonah is giving a psak here, and if you're going to think Rabbi Yechonah holds like the Tanakhama, the women are not mechuyev in piruviriv. Ksuba mayavidator. Why is she entitled to ksuba? She's the one who caused the breakup of the marriage because she wants to have children. So the Gemara says, no. This story is missing some of the detail. Not that she wanted a divorce because she wants to fulfill the mitzvah of having children. She wants to have children when she's going to become an old lady. She's going to need someone to take care of her. The Gemara's lashon is, be'inon chutra liyoda, I need a shtekin to hold in my hand. When I'll be an old person, I'm going to need children to rely on. Umara lekvur, I need a shovel to bury me. After I'm going to die, I want to have children that they'll be able to take care of me in my old age and to bury me after I'll die. So that's a taina. That's called boa machmas taina. If the woman says, I want to divorce my husband because he can't have children, and I'm missing the fulfillment of the mitzvah, piririm, so tell you, you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah. And if she wants to, as an enem, that's not a cause for a divorce. So she wouldn't be entitled to a ksuba.
It's also said that I'm like that if I won't have any children.
Mm-hmm.
Then she asked her husband to adopt.
Yeah.
So it's not because of the mitzvah,
right?
It's because that's what
she feels uncomfortable. A woman who's able to have children doesn't have feels extremely uncomfortable.
What happened to Shabbos?
Oh, that's a problem. If you all like that opinion and tell you that even though women are exempt from period of B'chuyim and Shevis, so the whole Gemara doesn't read straight. The simple reading of the Gemara is, like you say, women are potter from everything. They're not even B'chuyim and Shevis. Yeah, this Gemara sounds like that. So the Gemara says, it's not because. So the Gemara first thought it's a right that Rabbi Yechonah holds women are B'chuyim. The Gemara says, no. Dilma, perhaps the Maestro Shoy was Bibo Machmas Taina. She came with a tana. I want to have children like a normal woman that wants to, who's able to, wants to have children. Just like the following story. Ki ha'id yasa, just like once upon a time there was a woman, da'asoda kamid de Rabbi Ami, these two, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, those were the two students of Rabbi Yechonah. And they objected, either when it was Rabbi Abohu or Rabbi Chiya Baraba, when they said over the name Rabbi Yechonah, that he's paskening that women are mechuyev, so they objected, they said women are not mechuyev. The Gemara tells once there was a woman that came to Rabbi Ami, Amalei, I want to get divorced and I want my husband to pay me the ksuba. Havli ksuba. Amalei zil. So he says, no, you have no right to demand that you want to get divorced and you want a ksuba. Doi mifkidis. Women are not mechuyev in piruviriv. Amalei. So she tainas to Rabbi Ami, I want to have children not for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah. No mitzvah. Goyim like to have it. Stam. You want to have, you don't feel fulfilled if you don't have children. A different reason. When I become an old lady, who's going to take care of me? What's going to be with me when I become in my old age? Who's going to take care of me? So Rabbami said, in that case, you are koy for the husband to give her a get and to pay her the ksuba, because she does have a gerecht etayna. You don't say that the wife is responsible for the breakup of the marriage. The husband is the source of the problem. The husband has a medical condition. He can't have any children. So he's responsible for the divorce. The Gemara tells another story. How he, once upon a time, there was a woman, Da'asoda kam de Rab Nachman, came to Rab Nachman, different generation, Omalah. So she says she wants to get divorced because she doesn't have any children. Amalei, so Rabbi Nachman tells you, you're not mechuyev to have children. Amalei, my interest in having children is not for religious purposes, because of piruviriv. Amalei, lo baya hachitza, she's talking about herself. Doesn't this woman, don't I want to have chutra, don't I need chutra liyada, a shtekin to hold on to, umara lekvur, a shovel to bury me, means when I'll be an old lady, I want to have children to take care of me. So Rab Nachman said, oh, that's the maisa, oma ki ha, vadei kafina. Then you are koifim. That's a gerechta taina. That's called boa machmas taina. So here Taisus has a whole discussion. She gets the ksuba, does she get Tosefet ksuba also? When a husband, usually when you get married, so the ksuba is chamishim shekel kesef. It says in the Chumash, by oynes and mefate, kesef yishkol kemohar habesulas. You have to give chamishim shekel kesef. That used to be the amount, is mamat and third, that 50 shkolim used to be the amount that they would put into the ksuba. So that's a machlekes, whether machlekes hatanayim, whether ksuba deraisa, ksuba lav deraisa. Most of the Rishonim passed ksuba lav deraisa. But it was a minig bizman matan. So you have to give 50 shkolim. How much is the 50 shkolim? Pidyon HaBen is 5 shkolim. How much is Pidyon HaBen these days? Close to $100. Maximum, close to $100. So five times Pidyon HaBen is 5 shkolim. So this is 50. So 10 times $100 is $1,000. $1,000, hardly anything. The ikik suba is peanuts, only $1,000. So the minig is that we always add on much more. So you add on Tosefes Ksuba, then you add on the Dunya. Sahakom Asayin Zekukin Kesef. So Zekukin is not coins from the days of the Gemara. Zekukin is coins from the days of the Maharil in Austria. That's worth an awful lot of money. That's Taka, $100,000, $200,000, that's enough, a lot of money. So Tosefes has the Shaila here. True, if the husband has a medical problem, he can't have children. And the wife wants to have chutra, the adam or the kvura, she wants to have children. So she has the right to insist that she wants a get. Bezna will be kai for the husband to give her a get and make him pay the ksuba. But does he pay only the ike ksuba, or does he pay the tosefes also? The tosefes, he added on the assumption he loves her and he's going to treat her nicely. Here she's forcing him to give her a get. So does it make sense that you pay tosefes also? So Taisa goes into the details. These are important dinim.
Can we counter? Can you say, I'll arrange that someone will bury you. I'll pay for
that. No, she wants to have her children take care of her. Every woman wants to have her children take care of her. Women want to have children, even without them. It's the husband is mechuyim for, yeah. Yeah, the husband is mechuyim. That's one of the shibudim of the ksuba. The husband is mechuyim, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of dinim. Once in a while, the Rabbanut, very often the Rabbanut does kaifa a man to give a get. They'll take away his driver's license and so on. A lot of times he kaifa. Sometimes he kaifa bidvarim, but not b'shoite. Kfiya b'shoite means, avi yisir eschem ha-shoitem. Shoite means that a branch, we beat you up. You don't want to give a get, we're going to beat you up physically. And sometimes it's just kfiya bidvarim. You just give him tochacha. You say, you really mechuyif to give a get. It's not right that you don't give a get. Sometimes you don't even do. Sometimes it's the fault of the wife. She ruined the marriage. So every crazy woman who doesn't like her husband, they start attacking the husband. And a lot of times, not the husband's fault. The destruction of the marriage is the fault of the wife. So we don't support the women all the time. If she wants a get, that's what the Rambam writes the Loshen. But as you saw, are not kishvei escharev. They're not prisoners of war. So if the woman says she wants a get, he's supposed to get her again. That's the Ramah holds. You even kaifa if the woman says, "Mazalai, I can't stand my husband," and the other Rishonim say, "You're not kaifa." Okay, there are a lot of Gemaras you have to know. So this goes into the details. The other Gemara tells the interesting story about Rab Chiya. Chiya's wife had two sets of twins. She had twin boys and then twin girls. So the Gemara said, "Yehuda v'Chizkiya to'aimim hayu." They were twin brothers, children of Rab Chiya. In the days of the Gemara, they thought, we don't know exactly what this means, they thought that there are two types of pregnancies for women. There's a 7-month pregnancy and a 9-month pregnancy. So these two twins, one, in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Ritva, who says he doesn't know what that corresponds to. We only know about a 9-month pregnancy. We don't know what this means. But the Gemara says the two twins, one of them was born in the beginning of the 7th month, one of them was born after 9 months. Yehudis was the wife of Reb Chiya. Yehudis divisud Reb Chiya, havala tzar leida. She had terrible labor pain when she had the two sets of twins. So one day she wanted to ask her husband, who was a rabbi, is she mechuyev to go through all of this? But she was afraid The husband's going to say, yeah, because he wants to have more children. So she dressed up. She made believe she was someone else. And he wouldn't realize that it's his wife. He didn't realize that it was his own wife. He didn't look at women. He didn't look at his own wife. Shanoi mona, she changed her clothing. She came to her husband, and she made believe she's someone else. Omra, so she asked the Shaila rabbi, it's a mifkida piravirivya. Oh, a question mark. Are women mukhiv and piravirivya? Omalaloi. So she says, no, not mukhiv. Says, not mukhiv. She had twin boys. She didn't have the twin girls yet. Or what was the story? Maybe she had already. I don't remember the whole story. So Ozla, so if women are mukhiv and piravirivya, then the Gemara assumes she would not take a koish shali korin. A koish shali korin means in the days of the Gemara, they had a way. You're not allowed to castrate an animal. It says in the Chumash, you're not allowed to bring a behema as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash if it's a balmum. Umof v'chasus v'nosik v'choros, all kinds of balimumin, apostle the agabim mizbech, and if the animal was castrated, it's apostle the agabim mizbech, and then it ends off, the pasuk ends off, not only you can't bring it as the korban, u'be'atzachem lo'isasu. And by the way, you're not allowed to be mesaris any behema. Not allowed to be Messiah, any animal or human being, you're not allowed to. So we assume, we even paskin that it's in addition to the Sheva Mitzvahs ben Enoch that the Nochem are obligated to observe, we assume that the Nochem are also prohibited to castrate an animal. There's a machlokes in Sanhedrin, the whole sugya around Daf Nun Ches, B'nei Noach, starts on Daf Nun Ches, the whole discussion. So the Tanoim say, the Rambam quotes it, and Shach Niyordei quotes the Rambam. Rambam quotes, in addition to the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, the official Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, that if a Nochri violates any of them, he's put to death, his Chayv Misa, even on Gezel. If a Nochri steals a penny, less than a Shavar Puta, Nochri is Chayv Misa on Pachas and Gezel, Pachas Shavar Puta. So Misa, Azarasim, Zui Misasim, whenever the Nochri violates any of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch, he deserves a death penalty. But there are additional dinim for which you don't give him the death penalty. So one of them is Sirus on a behema. Another one is Harkavas Ilonis. If you graft one tree on another, so the Rambam Paskins are like that Gemara, that's Isef ben Enoch as well. He's not Chai Mis on that, that's why it's not listed among the official Sheva Mitzvahs ben Enoch, but it's an Isef, then it's an Isef, he's not allowed to observe Shabbos, but the Benech Shabbos Chai Misa. So the Rambam says, we notify him that he did wrong and he deserves the death penalty, but we don't give him the death penalty. You only get the Einish Misa for the actual Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch.
So there's no Einish? They don't do anything to him if he's heard
these other mitzvahs? Additional, he doesn't get a punishment. We tell him that he did wrong and he deserved the death penalty, but we're not going to administer the death penalty. Right? So that's the possible. The Yartzachem Loisasu, not only is it a din, you're not allowed to be makri, the korban on the Mizbeach, if it was castrated, that's a balmum, you're not allowed to castrate any animal or human being. So we assume that it's even usher by women. The question, the original Pasuk Chumash goes by a zohar who has a male organ on the outside, so you mutilate the organ or you cut it off. On a woman, the woman doesn't have something protruding from her body, so some Pasukim assume that the Issa is serious by women is only the Rabbanim, because the Rambam says if you do serious on an Ekeva, you're not like it. So why are you not like it? If it's a biblical violation, you should get Malkus. So some assume that it's only made the Rabbanim. The Pasuk only goes on castrating a Zohar. The Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer, these dinim of Sirus are in Ebenezer. So the Vilna Gaon thinks not so. The later Pasukim all quote the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon thinks that it's an Issa deraisa not to be a Mesaris and a Keva, but it's not the Iker Lav. The Rambam has in the Sefer HaMitzvahs this concept, the Gemara says, Olav shebichlolus ain't loikim olav. What is Olav shebichlolus? So the Rambam has a different shita from Tosfos. The Rambam shita is, if you have a pasuk, so whatever is pshuto shel mikra, on that you get malchus. But whatever is, gamzen nichlo bahalav, this too is included. Torah shebal peh gives an additional level of interpretation. Gamzen nichlo. So on that, that's not dumya dalav dechasima. The Gemara says, the whole perik, the third parak in Malkus, Elohein Aloiken, who gets Malkus? So all the Tanaim say, whoever violates an Aver, that's similar to Vasachs Mushabedisha. Where did they get Vasachs Mushabedisha? It's called Lavda Chasima. The Lavda Chasima, because in Chumash Dvorim, Those two psukim are one next to the other. The first pasuk says, "V'tzdikas atzarik v'shiros harasha v'hayon bin hakoyis harasha." If Bezna ascertains that someone is a Rasha, he did something wrong, so you give him malchus. Then the next pasuk says, "Lo sachsam shabedisha." So the Gemara says, "In Chumash Bereishis through Bamidbar, we don't darshan smuchim." If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekish. We assume that there's a connection. But you have two dinim written and two psukim, one next to the other, that's smuchim. You don't darshan smuchim machlekes satanoim. And the accepted opinion, you don't darshan smuchim and call it tarakula, except for Chumash Dvar. Because the Gemara says, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is chazering over right before he dies. He's reviewing call it tarakula. And when a person is reviewing, so he says one din. So by association, that reminds him of another din. Then by association, that reminds him of another din. He rattles on one, two, three, four. Each one is by association. It reminds him of another din and another din. So that's why in Chumash Dvarim, it's Moshe Rabbeinu saying over the way he's reminding himself of the dinim. So we assume every pasuk is connected to the next pasuk, and the next pasuk connected to the next pasuk, and so on. That's what the Gemara says. So there are many, 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 many famous dinim that are based on smuchim and Chumash Dvar. So one of them is this, the whole third parak in Makkos, Elohein Aloiken. But all the Tanaim agree, who gets Malkus, the one who violates an Aver, that's similar to L'Sachsam Shabedisha. So the L'Sachsam Shabedisha is a Pasuk, and Pshutin Shal Mikra is, that you're not allowed to muzzle the animal when it's doing work with food. So whenever you have a Pasuk, and let's say over here, you have a Pasuk, will be Artzachem L'Sachsam. The Pasuk is talking about a male animal. Moch V'Chosuk V'Nosuk V'Charus is talking the Beitzim and the Gid. He mutilated the Eva HaZachrus of a male animal. It's not talking about Nikevus. So Pshuto Shal Mikra is talking about Zohar. In addition to the Pshuto Shal Mikra, the Torah Shabbat Peh says that women are also, female bodies are also included. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that it's an Issa Deraisa. The Rambam says you're not like it because that's not Pshuto Shal Mikra. That's called Lapsha Bechlogs. But the Vilna Gaon thinks that it is an Issa Deraisa. So it would have only been an Issa Derabbanan, there would have been more room to be makel sometimes. But if it's an Issa Deraisa, you have to be more careful. So somehow the Gemara makes it totally zebizeh. The woman did, she didn't want to become pregnant again.
Does the Gemara quote it as like, oh, Masaris the woman? Where did the Vilna go and get that idea? Like,
the Rambam says if you're Masaris and Ikevo, it's Osir, but you're not Loike. So usually Osir and not Loike means that it's only an Issa Derabbanan. Usually. So the Vilna Gaon thinks over here, not necessarily so. He thinks that this is called the Lapsha Bechlov. That idea, that is the Rambam Shita on Lapsha Bechlov. It's like you have a Pasuk, L'Stoch La Ladam. It's a problematic Pasuk. It's a difficult word. It's a Pshuto Shal Mikra. So the Ramban Achumish says L'Soch L'Aladam Pshuto Shal Mikra is that the Nochrim of the Avodah Zarah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they knew that the blood circulation keeps the animal alive, and keeping animals alive, that's the koyach of the Rabban Shalom, because there's no spontaneous generation, so life must come from, there must be a God in heaven above who creates life, because life couldn't happen by itself. So the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, when they would slaughter an animal, they would gather together a whole puddle of blood, they would sit around it and do some kind of Avodah Zarah activity with respect to the blood. Because the blood, Ki Adamu Anefesh, the blood represents Chiyus, and Chiyus has to come from a deity. Chiyus can't come, they knew there's no spontaneous generation, has to come from a deity. So the Ramban says, he thinks that that's Pshuto Shal Mikra. So Chalal Adam shouldn't sit around in a circle around the puddle and do Avodah Zarah. But then the Gemara has additional levels of interpretation in that pasuk. So one level of interpretation is, you're not allowed to eat the flesh of a korban chatas, of korban shlamim, if you weren't zarek the dam yet. Adayim damim mizra. The Gemara has another interpretation, you're not allowed to eat before you daven shachris. V'sokhul korban shetispalalu al divchem. The Miri says, how can I be the rice if tefillah is only the rabbonim? If you hold like the Rambam, that tefillah once a day, every day is deraisa, you can hold that that's a real din deraisa. But you're not allowed to eat before you daven shachris. But most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The whole tefillah every day is only the Rabbanan. How can you say there's an Issa deraisa that you're not allowed to eat before davening? So the Miri says, maybe the Issa deraisa is that you're not allowed to eat before Kriyashma. Yeah, but how does it fit into the words? If you say not like before you daven, they say Vatechu Kadoshim Tispalalu Al Dimchem, before you pray for your life. But Kriyishma, you're not praying for your life. So how does that fit into the pasuk? Then the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. If a Bezdin of 23, a Sanhedrin Ktana, gave the death penalty to a person, they're not allowed to eat the end of the day. If they put someone to death today, they're not allowed to eat the end of the day. So the Gemara says, whenever, once in a Yovel, when they would give, once in a long, long time, when they would give the death penalty, they would eat the breakfast and lunch, and then they would put him to death late in the afternoon, an hour before Shkia, so they only had to fast an hour. Because if they put him to death in the morning, they have to fast till the end of the day. L'sech l'aladam, bez n'shargas ha-nefesh, not allowed to eat. The Gemara has additional levels of interpretation. So the Gemara says, on all of those, you're not like it, because that's called lavsha b'chlovas. So the Rambam, Tosfos doesn't learn like the Rambam. The Rambam learns lavsha b'chlovas. This too is included. Gamzeh, nichlal b'hala, but it's not pshuto shal mikra. On the pshuto shal mikra, you would be like it, and on the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh, that are the true, the drushes are true, but it's not dunya d'olav d'chassima. In order to be like it, has to be. So that's what the Vilna Gaon interprets in the Rambam. Where did the Rambam get it from? We don't know. The Rambam, it says in the Sifra, and that pasuk, we have to come lo sasi, not allowed to castrate any animals, it says that it applies to women as well, female bodies as well. So the Rambam says, ain't a loike. How did he know ain't a loike? And what does it mean? Ain't a loike means it's all, most of the pasuk until the Vilna Gaon, most of them assume the whole Iser, Sirius Bani Kevis, is only the Rabban. Vilna Gaon has this chiddush. He thinks it doesn't necessarily mean that. It's an Iser deraisa, but it's not dumi, the lav nachasim. So that's why you're not like it. That's why you're not like it. So somehow the Gemara links up together. If women would be matzuva on piri verivya, like men, then a woman would not only not be permitted, either menatar menabon, a woman would not only not be permitted to do sirus by tying up her tubes, or cutting something out, making physically, ruining her, doing surgery to the body, it would be prohibited to drink, they had some kind of a samadha karta, that a kosher liqueur. They used to drink some kind of a potion, and that prevented them from having children. So the Gemara, somehow, Yehudis, Eishes, Reb Chiya, thought that it's totally zebizeh. If women would be mitzuvah and piriribia, just like men, then the din of Sirus would, just like by men, not only is a man a violation of the Yatzacham Lo'esasu, if he tampers with the Eivar Haleda, even if he takes a potion that he drinks also for a man. But a woman is only a violation of Yatzacham Lo'esasu if they do surgery on the woman. But if they do a kosher likar, that would be mutter. Why is it totally zebizeh? It's very problematic. But that's what happened over here. So Eishes Reb Chiya had these two sets of twins, twin boys and twin girls. And she couldn't take it anymore. He didn't have the labor pains. So she was afraid to ask him in person because he would recognize that it's his wife. So she dressed up Shanoim on her. She changed her clothing and he didn't recognize her. And she made believe she's not his wife. She asked, what's it din? He says, women are not mitzvah on piri v'rivya. So she took the kosher liqueur. Then he discovered that this was his wife. So he said, darling, why didn't you tell me that it was you? If I would have known it was you, I would never have given you any leniencies. I would have been happy to have another pair of twins. He doesn't have the labor pains. He had the two sets of twins. He had the twin boys and the twin girls. Igloi Milsa, later on, he discovered that it was his wife. Omalosa, he said, Echu yaldas licho de kreisa achrita. I would have been happy to have another set of twins. Yeah, but she couldn't take it because she had so much pain. The Amar, we have a tradition, she had two sets of twins, Yehuda v'cheske Achi, were the twin boys, and Paz v'tavi were Achvasa, they were the twin girls. So that's what the Gemara paskens, that women are not mukhiv in piri v'rivya, and therefore they're permitted to take kosher likorin if they're having labor pain, if she's having pain from having children. If she's not having pain, she just wants to practice birth control, so that's not right. But v'makom chayli, it is a chayli, v'makom chayli, then we're mekom. Why are you mekom? Why should you be mekom? If it's an isa deraisa, it can't be mekom. So you have to say that if you do surgery on a woman, according to the Vilna Gaon, do surgery on a woman, he tied the tubes, that would be an Issa deraisa v'ein aloike. But if you drink a kosher likorin, that's only the Rabbanon. That's going to be only the Rabbanon. So if a woman is not mitzuvah and pira v'rivya, so she's b'makom chayli, because there's so much pain at the time of labor, so we would be makel to do to drink kosher likorin. It's a difficult thing. Why should it depend on pira v'rivya? So what's the end of the story? That women are not mechuyev in pira v'rivya? That's what we're passing. So the Gemara ends off, v'loy mifkidi. Bottom line, that's the din. Women are not mechuyev. It's not true. V'om rabbache, barav ketenu, om rabbi Yitzchak. There's a Mishnah in the middle of Gittin. The Mishnah has a machlokes, b'shamay, b'shilil. What if you have a chatzieved v'chatzim mechuyev? How do you have a chatzieved v'chatzim mechuyev? If you're meshachre, half of the eved, it's not chal. We pass the meshachre chatzieved, though. It remains an eved. How can you have a chatzieved v'chatzim mechuyev? So the Gemara explains, an eved shall shnei shutfim. And one of them was meshachre everything that he has, even though it's going to be a chatzi eved, but he was meshachre the whole kinyan that he has. So the eved will remain a chatzi eved v'chatzim mechuyev. So the chatzi eved v'chatzim mechuyev is stuck. He can't marry a shivcha k'nainis because he's a chatzi mechuyev. An eved ivri is muta b'shivcha k'nainis, but he's not an eved ivri. So he can't marry a shivcha k'nainis because he's a chatzi mechuyev, and he can't marry a yisraelis because he's a chatzi eved. So he can't get married at all. So that's terrible. So the Shammai said, you have to make a takal, you have to do something. The Rebbeinu Shlom created the world that people should get married and have children. Here, the man is in a predicament. He can't marry anybody. So Kofin is Rabbo, the Shammai said, you force the Odom to free him, and the Eved has to pay later on. Well, to get a job, he should pay how much he was worth as a Chatzi Eved. He should pay back the Odom the value that he was worth. And Beis Hillel originally disagreed, and then later on, a while later, probably a couple of months later, a couple of years later, they agreed with the Beis Shammai, and they paskin like them also. Kofin is Rabbo, was also Ben Charon, that's how we paskin. So why do you pray for the Yodon to free him? Because Piri Rivia is such an important mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, V'loi Mifkid, do you tell me the women are not Mechuyev in Piri Rivia, but we know Maisu Shehoyah, tells a Maisa Shahoya, it once happened, Maisa Bishachas, a woman, not a man, was a Chatziyah Bechasma. A woman was Chetz Shivcha Bechetz Baschan. The same story. A woman was a Shivcha Knein, is owned by two Shutfim, Jewish Shutfim. One of them was Meshachar her. So his Chalik is Meshuchar. And now she remains a Chetz Shivcha Bechetz Baschan. The Kofu is Rabba, the Asa'ua Baschan. They forced the Adbez, they forced the Adon to free her. But the whole reason why you force the Yodim to free is because you want them to get married and have children. But over here, the woman is not Mechuyev in Pira V'rivya. So why do you have the right to be kai for the Yodim? The woman does not Pira V'rivya. And for the Gemara, no, the Maaseh Shai was like this. Because she was a Chetz and Shivcha, the Chetz of Ascharin, everyone has a desire to live with a woman or to live with a man. So she was Mezana. She couldn't marry Ben Chaim. She couldn't marry an Avaknani. So she was being Mezana. So the Gemara says, Minik Efkin Nogabo. Maisa Shoya was that people were having an affair with everybody. Avodim and Bnei Chorin. Everybody was, it was a free for all over there. That's why they were Kaifa. You're Kaifa in a Chatzieva, Chatz Mechon, you're Kaifa to free him even if he's celibate, even if he's not violating any din at all. Because the Lotov Baro, the Shevis Yitzor, that was in Takanas Beis Shammai, it's a little Greek. But by woman, where you don't have the mitzvah, Pira Rivia, if Nogabon Binig Hefker, then you are Kaif. I'll tell you, rather than continue, they're all important dinim here. I think maybe, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael tonight, so next week I won't be around, but the week after, we'll learn in Yoni Purim, okay? So the week after Purim, I think it's Kedai to start Perek Cheresh. It comes up Halacha Maisa. Cheresh means retarded. So the Mishnayos have a din about retarded people getting married. And it has dinim about Kotna Cheresh. Where's Perek Cheresh? It's later. After the Shama. Here's Perek Cheresh. But we know that next time we learn Yeromis, we'll start from Kuf Yud Beis on the base, Perik Yud Dalit, then you have more heteragunas at the end. Okay. In the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, there's a famous Rashi. Rashi quotes from the Mechilta. The end of Parshas Yisro talks about making a Mizbech. In the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim talks about Bezn. So, the last pasuk, the Salam Malos on Mizbechi, Mizbech Avarim Tasali, talks about building a Mizbech. Then the beginning of Mishpatim talks about establishing Batidinim. The Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. The Smichas HaParsha seems to imply that you're supposed to have a connection between the Bezdin Samach LeMizbech, and that's the Bezdin HaGadol used to meet in the Lishkas HaGozis, which was an office in the Beis HaMikdosh. What is the significance of having the Bezdin HaGadol meet Davka Samach LeMizbech? So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash has an interesting suggestion. He says, the Psokim of the Bezdin HaGadol are binding on all of Klal Yisrael, the Zedin of Zokim Mamre. If a rabbi is going to paskin against the Bezdin HaGadol, I'm going to be chayv misa. The psokim are binding on all of Klal Yisrael, so we hope and pray, and we want that they shouldn't make any mistakes. Human beings are human beings, and human beings can always make a mistake. So we assume that if they'll be near the Shechina, near the Mizbeach, they'll have a siyach to the Shmaya to paskin properly. And that's the truth of the matter is that that's why any psok of any rabbi is binding. Forget about Bezdin HaGadol, that the psokim a binding on all the clouds. So yes, can local Orthodox Rabbi Yishayla, you have to listen to what he says. Why do you have to listen? Maybe he's making a mistake. So we assume that the Gemara has in the beginning of Seita such a statement. Why are the psalkim of the rabbis binding? The Gemara quotes the posik in Tehillim. So Hashem liyareyov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal the secrets of the Torah to the Talmid HaChacham who have Yirah Shamayim. Sometimes you have a Talmid HaChacham who is a wise guy. He's a character. He's lacking Yirah Shamayim. So then you shouldn't ask him the Shaila. Even though he's very learned, you shouldn't ask. You should ask the Shailas of the Yirah Shamayim, because the Pasuk promises, Sayyid Hashem Lirei, of the Ribbono Shel Olam will reveal his secrets to the one who has Yirah Shamayim. There was an interesting Pasuk in the what? Yes. They tell the story about the Nadi Yehuda, that when he was appointed the rabbi I remember which community. Well, his big rabbonus was in Prague, and before that he was in a little village in Yampala. So I don't remember which community it was. So they came to ask him a shaila and Hilchus Treifus. They came from the slaughterhouse. They shechted an animal, and there was a nekev. There was a hole in one of the organs, and a group of balabatim came from the slaughterhouse to ask whether the animal is a treifa. He said, this description of the case doesn't appear in your day at all. Doesn't say a word. It has dinim if there's a hole in the kishkis, if there's a hole in the lungs. Different dinim. This case not described. So it's kosher. So there's nothing to discuss. But he felt very uncomfortable. So he kept on mishing the pages of the Eridea back and forth, looking. He knew it doesn't say. He knew what the dinim are. He knew, kept on mishing the pages, making him believe that he's looking. And then he slammed the Eridea shut, and he screams at one of them, "You're a faker. You made up the shaila. You punctured the hole after the shechita." Usually you can tell if a hole developed in the organ while the animal was alive, so there's going to be dam, there's going to be blood over there. After the animal's dead already, the blood stops circulating. There isn't going to be any blood over there. So they did it so soon after the shechita that there was still a lot of blood. So you couldn't really detect. By looking at the animal, you couldn't really detect that it happened after the shechita. And after the shechita, said, not a shiloh treifus. So he screamed at them till a fella, and kept on, he was very abusive, till the balabas admitted that it was true. How did he figure this out? So he said that whenever he paskins a shiloh, he always feels very comfortable. He feels that he always had a siyata dishmaya, not to make a mistake. And on this occasion, he felt lost. And he didn't know why does he feel lost. He knows that it's not discussed in the Gemara, not discussed on Yod, not discussed. So it's kosher. If it doesn't say, it's a treifa. So all animals are kosher unless you know that it's a treifa. So he, as he was mishing the page, he was trying to figure out how come he feels at a loss. So he felt, Mistametz and Nesmen Hashemayim, that they always give him this siyata dishmai, this comfortable feeling that he's paskening properly, so that Nes is only done when it's necessary. When it's a lot of tzarch, they're not going to give this siyata dishmaya. So why is it not necessary? So he was looking at the different people who came, before he was appointed the rabbi, the practice always used to be, there was always a big machlokes. When they appointed a new rabbi in the community, there would always be a machlokes. So some of the people wanted their nephew, their cousin, their mechutin. There was always a reason why there was someone who was opposed to the one who was appointed rabbi. So he saw that one of the people involved, one of the people who brought the shaila, was one of his misnagdim, who was unhappy about the fact that he was appointed rabbi. So he figured, mistama they made up, and mistama they didn't give him this yaita nishmaya, because it wasn't necessary. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is not going to make a nes, shalom letzor. So that's why, slim shut the earth, and he screamed him till the guy admitted that it was true. Now Goldberg Zichron Lebracha gave this drasha, he quoted, it's published, and he quoted this maisa with the Nebi Yehuda. Then he quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin's Gemara in, I don't remember where the Gemara is. Gemara quotes the two psukim. It says, by David HaMelech, Ahi David Dachol Lebracha Maskel Vashem Imoi. And by Shaul HaMelech it says, Vahiyu Shaul Marshia Dachol Dvar. I forgot already the whole lotion. So the Gemara interpret doesn't mean Marshia, he was evil, he was wicked. The Gemara says he didn't have success. He didn't have as much success as David HaMelech. David HaMelech was more successful in giving shurim and in paskening shilas. So the pasuk says David was successful in paskening shilas. It says, "Vahi David chol derocha maska." Why was he successful in paskening? Vashem imoy, because he had a siyata d'shmaya, the paskin properly. So it's interesting. There is a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim that towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yoshiyahu HaMelech was gaines the luchas. He took the urim with the luchas from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he put it in the basement. What is that all about? So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Beis Abchira that Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he had a Megillah Biksav. The Navi gave David HaMelech. David HaMelech gave it to Shlomo HaMelech. He gave him a Megillah Biksav, the whole layout of the Beis HaMikdash. So the plan always was that there's going to be a chamber in the basement. When the time comes, they should take the luchas from upstairs, from the Kodesh Kodesh, and put it in the basement. Why did the time come? So it gives a reason there in the Rambam. It doesn't say because the Yoshiyahu HaMelech was afraid the enemy would come and steal the luchas. That was later. That was later by the Churban Bais Rishon. This is way before. It gives a funny reason because it's no longer something about paskening shilas. What has it got to do with paskening shilas? So the Netziv has in his introduction to all of Torah about that. So he calls it Kidmas HaEmek. His commentary on the Shiltas is called Haimik Shola, and the introduction to the Haimik Shola, he writes about the whole development of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he says in the early years, when the Bez Nagoro was in the Lishkas HaGozes, so the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the style of paskening Shilas in Eretz Yisrael was Tamir HaChacham Sheba Eretz Yisrael were Makol Noyam, Manim Im Zeh L'Zeh B'Halacha. They didn't have to fight it out. They didn't have to argue it out. They would all be pleasant with each other, and they would discuss it lightly. And they had this siyata d'shmaya because they were sitting next to the mizbech, next to the Orem. So they had a siyata d'shmaya to paskin. When they were going to go into Golas Bavel, so they're going to be far away from the Shechina. Shechina didn't go into Golas Bavel. They're going to be far away, so they had to develop a different derech halimud. Derech halimud, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, like all the tshuvas. You have a whole pilpul. You can't say, what's the din? You can't say this, it's against that Gemara, can't say that, it's against the Rama and the Rashba. You have to work it out with the whole pilpul, so that you can't switch overnight. So Yoshua Melech wanted to train the Tamir HaChachamim. They're going to ultimately go into Golus in another 50 years or so. They're going to go into Golus, they're going to have to develop a different Derech Halima. So he took away the Orim with the Luchis, who shouldn't be right next to the Sanhedrin, should be in the basement. And they should start developing this new Pilpulah Shoter, the new style of Paskin and Shilas, so that when they'll go into Golus, they'll be used to it already. And interesting, that's all based on this Ramban HaChumash, that the whole idea of having Sanhedrin and Samach LaMizbeach, they should have Ashuras HaShchina, that the Psach should come easily. And in Bavel, they're not going to have that. So Yoshe HaMelech wanted to train them before they go into Golus.
Isn't that smoking?
Yeah. Yes. Every so often you have a drasha. I don't know. We have a few smoking. We assume it's just an asmachta.
Bar nefesh es rabbis vechas rabbis kol ma shibar hachi es kol nefesh kol or chay kol min. Okay,
see you
tomorrow. Oh, May, thank you. I want to give you some money. I got an idea.
Oh, yeah, I was going to put $1 for you into the.
Enjoy your trip. Thank you. I will.